Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 71.
This episode is all about saying good riddance to 2020. We've got resolutions, look backs to our gaming fails of 2019, a top 10 of the 2020 list, and plenty of stats because, you know, we Eurogamers love the maths. Do we, though?
I mean, to some extent, you must.
I guess.
Granted, a lot of Eurogamers complained about Power Grid being too mathy. There's like the Goldilocks zone of just enough math.
just scoring enough points and calculating your points. That's
Last episode you said maths and you said you really like that word. So this was really just for you, Sean.
The kids today, that's what they say. They say maths.
The maths.
Which I don't really understand, but. I always thought math.
Isn't that like a British thing?
Is it? I always thought math was like fish. You know, you don't say fishes, you say math. It's like, you know, one of those irregular plurals.
I thought it was a British thing.
It might be. Who knows?
Not us, apparently.
No.
Definitely not us.
So, it's 2021, Michelle.
It is. We have officially survived.
We have?
Yep, 2020.
And things are super different in the, like, 3 or 4 days since 2020.
Yeah, just like 2021, flick a slit.
Yeah.
Flick a switch, boom.
Boom, it's gone. Good. Everything is back to normal.
Yeah. Time to look back. I've been enjoying the, all the 2020, like, top 10 lists.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been a bunch, I do enjoy that.
Bunch of games I've never played. So, you know.
Get some FOMO.
Because, hey, there's like, I'm sure we'll talk about, there's like one game I legitimately have FOMO that I probably could have played given our circumstances right now that I do have very serious FOMO about. But the rest are like, oh, I couldn't have played these anyway. So, whatever.
Well, before we get too ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this episode will look a little bit different. We're just going to do our Hot Topic.
Sorry, I was taking a sip of beer. Hot Topic!
This is our bit where we talk about something so hot that even the sun can't touch this. And I can't touch this.
Have we talked about this, Michelle? I'm sure you're fully aware that MC Hammer was like a really well-regarded like amateur baseball player. And was like highly drafted. I'm sure you know this, right?
I don't think we've talked about it specifically, but most definitely I knew this. So.
It's in your knowledge base.
Yeah. I mean, it's pop culture and baseball, so basically my two specialties.
It's in your wheelhouse, your double wheelhouse.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So we're gonna look back on 2019. We're gonna look back on 2020. I like that we're looking back on 2019 because I feel like I'll cry a little bit less than when we start talking about 2020. And then we'll look forward to 2021 a little bit.
Yeah. Next episode, if all goes to plan, we'll do more of a good hello 2021, I guess, and look at some of the upcoming releases so that we can feed the hype. Yum, 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 yum.
But right now it's gonna be all like, I guess, in board gaming, like 2 year, 1 year, and especially 2 year, we're just like kicking that cult of the old.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with a look back on 2019. So the first thing we're gonna do is review our top 10 lists.
Okay. And you have these, because heaven forbid.
I listened to this episode at double speed.
Wow.
I have to say, we sound very interesting.
Do we sound like chipmunks?
It was a new experience. So I have the list, so we'll go through them. And then we'll just kind of just general thoughts. Like, are we still playing the games? Would you change anything? That sort of thing.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So here we go. So Sean's top 10 of 2019. Do you remember any of the games, by the way, on this list?
But no. Are you crazy? Okay. You cray cray, man.
All right. So your number 10 was Black Angel.
Okay.
9, Point Salad.
Okay.
8, Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Yeah.
7, Res Arcana.
Yeah.
6, Llama.
Okay.
5, Unmatched.
Yeah.
4, Marvel Champions. 3, Wingspan. 2, The Artemis Project. And 1, Clank Legacy.
Okay.
So, are you surprised by any of those?
No, thinking back, because I kind of remember, no, I don't think I'm surprised by any of those. I am kind of impressed that I've continued to play a lot of them, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, that's pretty good. Some of them, I think I have not, I've played Black Angel once, I think, since we did that, and I've played Taverns of Tiefenthal, which I still don't own. Taverns of Tiefenthal, which I still don't own, but I've played a couple times since then. And Res Arcana, I've played. I don't know if I've played since then.
Okay.
But the rest I've played a fair bit, which is cool, interesting for me.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised to see Black Angel on your list. I was like, really?
I did really enjoy it, and I still have it, which is saying something, considering I've purged a lot of those types of games, like the heavier games, because I'm being realistic about things right now. But I do enjoy it, and I am going, now that I'm playing a little bit more solo, I have enjoyed the solo, and if I'm going to, I might bust it out again. Mm-hmm. But I also think maybe I was caught up in the hype for it a little bit too. But it's a good game. It really is.
I feel like the hype was actually, like, pre-game, the hype was pretty big. But
yes.
Post, I felt like a lot of people were disappointed. I think Twa was just such a well-regarded title that there was a lot of expectation and excitement around it.
Yep. How about yours?
I think I like it better than Twa. I think it's an excellent game.
Still have not played Twa.
It's good. It's good.
I recommend it. You should remind me when we talk about one of my resolutions about Twa, and then I'll write it down.
Okay.
Because it will come up.
Remember,
no, you won't. I know. But
okay. Do you want to hear my top 10 tonight?
Sure. Do you want me to tell you what I would change?
Sure.
Or do you want to do that after?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So Marvel Champions would be number one.
Okay.
And Unmatched would be number two by a landslide.
Wow, so those were your 1, 2, 3, your 4 and 5. Yeah. That's quite a
So they
drop.
Would definitely be 1 and 2. Marvel Champions, just based on the amount I have played it. An Unmatched, which I have played less since the pandemic, but I was able to play it once. I can't even remember, in May, I think, online. And it works pretty well. I mean, this all one person just controls the board and the other person needs a deck of cards. It did work, but I do want to play that some more, so I might try and get that to the table more. And Artemis Project, I've not played as much as I would like to, but I played it so much kind of towards the end, towards this list. And Point Salad and Llama would probably go up too, because they've just gone and played so much. Again, not so much lately, because they're not really good at two players. But mm-hmm. they've just been, even in the first couple months, when I was doing my BG stats this year, they were both played a ton in the first few months before things got crazy. So they would probably go up too, because they hold a lot of value for me. So.
I saw a llama dice game that's coming.
Dice? Yeah, I haven't even done the llama. I think it was a llama party is the other
one. Yeah, I purchased that, but again, I haven't had a situation to be able to play it yet.
Yeah, llama dice would be interesting, actually.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of, I'm fatigued on a lot of, the roll and rights and the dice version of games, but when I saw llama dice, I was like, ooh, that actually might be kind of fun. Like, it might be might feel like a kind of a Wurfle Bonanza or something. Just, I don't know, just really light and easy and breezy and not trying to be too much, I guess.
Sounds
I don't
just know. Like me, man. Perfect.
Plus, I always love the art.
The art is really awesome.
And you are not easy breezy.
Oh, I've been easy breezy actually, cover girl. I remember those commercials.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. What are your, what were your top tens? All what right, is your so top my, 10 of 2019?
Yeah, my top 10 was, my 10 was Ragusa, then Glenmore 2, then Pipeline, then Blackout Hong Kong, Trismegistus, Maracaibo, Forum Trajanum, Cooper Island, Black Angel, and Wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm assuming you're playing all of these games still.
I am still playing.
They sound like all of them.
Yeah, I've played all of these games. Ragusa, I actually ended up selling.
Mm.
Surprisingly enough, I do like the game, and I really love the designer Fabio Lapiano. Like if he comes out with something, I'm super interested in it. His latest hit, I believe, is Merv. Which I haven't played. So I really like the idea behind Ragusa. The issue I had with it is, in reality, towards the end of the game, it just became too much to manage in terms of, you know, everybody trigger, like on your turn, you could trigger, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 different actions for different people, in different orders. So it was just kind of a lot to manage. Like it just kind of got messy. So that's why I ended up getting rid of it, and the gameplay felt a little bit stale after repeat plays. Like I just didn't feel like there was a lot of variability there. So yeah, that would probably come off. I don't know what would replace it, honestly. I'd have to look through the list. Cooper Island, okay, so playing, yes, so I've played all of them. I haven't been playing Blackout Hong Kong as much. I don't know why. I really enjoyed my plays of it. But it's one of those games I just don't seem to crave playing. I played a ton of Maracaibo simply because it has a campaign, and I'm like that type of person that likes to check things off a checklist. So when I am playing a campaign, I feel the need to complete things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I enjoy the game, but yeah, the amount of plays I got is because of that. Everything else, yes, I'm still playing. Cooper Island, I thought was my number one, but apparently it was my number three. I would make that my number one.
Oh, wow. Now.
Yeah, I really, really like that game. I think it's just incredible. Yeah, I think that's probably it. Trismegistus might move up a bit. That's one that I've continued to go back to. But yeah, probably just Cooper Island number one.
Cool.
And Ragusa off and something to replace it with.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So we had some resolutions, my friends.
Can I? Okay, I'm going to try to remember them. I kind of remember my ones from... No, I don't, actually. Okay, go ahead.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
Okay, so in regards to Felduary, I said I wanted to complete Felduary, and you piped in, and you said you wanted to play one Feld in Felduary.
Felduary? What did you just say?
Felduary.
Mm.
So that's our, well,
I got to check BG's stats tradition, to see if I've actually played anything. If I played
Felduary is February, and I just try to play all the Felds in February.
So I'm assuming you had no problem doing.
I did not have any problem. I love Felduary. Mm. I really do. It's something I look forward to every year. I think this year... Actually, I have it on my BG Stats app, probably. Let's see here.
I'm seeing if I played anything.
I played February 2020. It was 20 games. So 20 Felds, and I played them.
I played none.
Yeah, in February. Did you play any Felds?
I did not. I played Smoker's Wild, but not any Feld.
I'm not sure why you told me that. Like, that was supposed to be...
I know. I played Beowulf the Legend, apparently, but no Felds.
Not quite close.
Played Bricks 4 times, but no Felds.
Hmm. I should have nagged you, but there's no chance from January to February that I remembered that that was your resolution.
Yeah, no.
All right. The next one that you said, you wanted to get good at a game. So you said, like, that you suck at playing games.
Yeah. True
story. And that you wanted to play a game well enough and enough times to feel like you had a really, really good grasp of it. And the game that you gave as an example was Marvel Champions.
Yeah. I think I don't know how good I became at it. And I feel like I'm much better after 2020 because they probably played it a lot more than 2019. Wait, that would have been my resolution for 2020, right?
Correct.
Like, for the following year. Oh, yeah, I think so. Like, I think I have a good... Yeah, I'm pretty decent at that. Like, I'm not, like, you know, Ultron hard level good yet. Or not Ultron, whoever. Yeah, Ultron's the super hard one. Like, I can't beat him by myself. But I can beat most anybody else, and I've kind of figured out to do a little bit of the deck building. And, like, I still have a little bit to go, but I think I feel confident in that game. So, yeah, sure. Just that one, though. No other ones.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You did all right.
Yeah, I think I did all right with that one.
And, yeah, I don't know why I put 2019, but you're right. It was our 2020 resolution.
Well, it would have been, yeah, it would have been for 20, yeah.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
No, it's
that's
okay.
Confusing. That's I think it was, you might have made them in 2019.
Yeah, that's probably why.
All right, I will skip. I will do my next one. We'll go back and forth.
Sure.
If that's cool with you. So one of the things I tried last year, Bitzer Denman asked me to do it with him, is the 2020 Mechanics Challenge. Mm-hmm. So this is where you try to, there's three challenges. There's normal, which you want to do 25, hardcore 45, and insane 85, and basically play games, one game for each of the mechanisms listed in BGG, and you can't have repeats. Mm-hmm. So super easy at first, and then it got significantly more difficult. I did pretty good, so I set myself up for insane, because whatever, like, if I don't do it, who cares, really? Mm. But I did pretty good. I got 74 out of 85.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and the ones I miss, like, the first one I missed is acting, singing. There's the ones I miss, I just simply didn't have games in my collection for that mechanism. And I had kind of assumed that towards the end of the year, I would like look up the games and then try to get together with people.
Who have lots of acting, singing games.
Yeah, exactly.
Play karaoke with some people.
I specifically mentioned acting, singing would be a Sean game.
Very much so. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. What are some of the other ones I missed? Critical hits and failures. Command cards, critical hits and failures. Like, a lot of these sound like war games to
me.
Yeah. Impulse movement, physical removal, player judge.
Physical removal. Pick you up and throw you out of the house.
Yeah. Some of these I was like, what is this even?
Yeah.
But anyways, so that was one of the things I wanted to do. And it was fun. It was neat to kind of see, like, what the mechanisms were. And what fell under what. And of course, you know, most of the games I played seem to be pretty similar, like the amount of worker placements or dice resolution ones I played was insane. But yeah, it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So yours was you wanted to stay in your space, meaning you wanted to keep a good flow of getting and getting rid of games. So keeping and getting rid of games. So just, you were saying like you had some space and you just wanted it to be like, I think, not overflowing with games and just to kind of continue the.
So this would have been for the year of 2020.
Yeah.
That was going really well until like about 2 months ago.
What happened 2 months ago?
Or I think there's just been a lot of impulse buying and kickstarting and stuff. Yeah, I won't lie, I am very much a what's the word I'm looking for, like, you know, buy stuff to make myself feel better type person sometimes. So between some kind of personal things and then, you know, just everything going on with the pandemic, I'm like, oh, I'll buy this, it'll make me feel better, I'll buy this. pissed. So it was
and
going
Sean, do you feel better?
Really well. And then, so then I kind of buckled down again, and I got myself under, like, everything within my shelves. And then, like, Black Friday and Boxing Day and stuff happened, and now it's just, no, a complete disaster. So I guess we're going to try and go through another huge purge here, but that's kind of it.
So, for the most part.
Sure, sure. For, like,
fine.
9-10 months of this month, it's been, of this year, it's been really good.
That's good.
But
I find the latter part of the year pretty overwhelming and exciting. Like, it's wonderful because for me, especially with Essen being in October, like, most of the games I look forward to the most during the year come out between October and December.
Yeah.
And this year what ended up happening, and I'm sure it's happened in years previous too, is like I have a budget every month. And so I've been pre-ordering, like, as pre-orders come up, I've been pre-ordering these games. And then it was like, because of Essen, well, not that Essen happened, but the season of Essen happened. It was just like a whoosh of games. Like, I was like, yeah, I felt bad for my postman, postwoman, because suddenly all of these pre-orders are coming in and there are all of these releases I was looking forward to.
I think similar. So usually, I'm kind of the same way, but for me, it's usually going to be like, you know, end of July, whenever Gen Con is, probably to like September or October, right? When most of those Gen Con games hit. But what I think happened this year with all those Gen Con games is they weren't released because barely anything was released around online Gen Con. And then the end of the year happened where all the companies were probably like, oh no, we have to get rid of this stuff before the end of the year. We have to put it out before the end of the year happens. So there was just like a flood of all these, you know, the games that maybe I'm a little bit more interested in that would have typically come out in the fall, but just were all rushed out in like December. So
yeah, or maybe people were just getting caught up with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not like I'm in the play any of them. Bitzer Darren had a good name for what's happening with a lot of gamers who don't get the who don't play a lot of the games during during COVID, is that we do depression purges. So we're like, we feel really sad that we have all these games, then we just get rid of them and purge them, and then start buying a whole bunch of other stuff, and then never play them or take them out of the string, and then purge them again. It's just a cycle.
Yeah, so yeah, I've seen that. Yep. Yep, for sure. That's funny. Yeah. Speaking of purchasing games, my other resolution was to be more mindful about buying expansions. So finally coming to terms with the fact that, expansions for the most part just add more to a game that doesn't necessarily need it. And I often find I'm myself hesitant to pick a game off the shelf if it has an expansion, because it means you have two rule books and you have more content to sift through. So just, you know, taking more time to check it out and what does it mean? So I'm not anti-buying expansions, just being more mindful about it. And I think I did pretty good this year. I definitely feel like I bought less expansions. I still bought expansions. But for me, if the expansion is a lot of the same and it's just a lot more, then I'm happy. But if it adds like a ton of modules and stuff, unless it's a game that I really, really love, I've been, for the most part, staying away from it. So that was my purchasing one, I think. All right. I think you succeeded on your next one, Sean. Next one was to get Kathleen to play a legacy game.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. My City. Yes. Yeah, totally. She loves that. She asked to play it, which was awesome.
Nice. So,
yeah. And it's good.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, that worked. Yeah, that's just, and she said that's kind of the type of legacy game that she likes. There's not too much story in it, or really any story, but there's not too much story in it, and it only adds like a single thing at a time. It's not introducing a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah, she really loved that game, actually. So that's perfect.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah,
we'll definitely be talking about it more this episode.
Ooh, will we?
Mm-hmm. Spoiler.
Ooh, spoiler.
Speaking of legacy, so I played Clank Legacy my resolution was to play another one. So I'd originally thrown around Betrayal Legacy, and then when I read about it It scared me away.
Yeah.
So we were looking at King's Dilemma, and then COVID hit, so that never happened. But I don't know, maybe post-COVID it will. So
yeah, I am still super. Oh, I really want to play King's Dilemma so badly.
Yeah, it looks neat.
I think that'd be right up my alley, but yeah. We'll see when
I think it might not be right up my alley, but
I feel like it wouldn't be right up your alley.
I'm curious. And yeah. The group that I play with, I feel comfortable playing that type of game with, if that makes sense. Yeah. All right. So you had your last one.
God, we had a lot of resolutions, apparently.
Yeah. You wanted to continue to expand your tabletop horizons. So you said you were playing a D&D campaign and you didn't necessarily want to play more D&D, but you did want to play more RPGs.
Yep.
And you were also enjoying playing miniatures like Warhammer.
I think I definitely did more D&D, especially as COVID hit, because you can, role-playing, because it's so, right, there's no, for the most part, there's no difference between doing it, except the food. My favorite part about doing D&D, and I mentioned this on the show, was that our DM used to smoke his own meat and make all sorts of yummy food, both him and his wife, for us. It was amazing. One day I had such a bad migraine and I couldn't go to D&D, and they kept sending me pictures of all the food that they made, and I was like just cursing. It's like I could barely open my eyes, but I'm staring at this food. But yeah, so I definitely played. I even tried my hat a couple of times at hosting, at being a DM for other games, for other role-playing games. So I definitely think I did, and I've done a lot more with that for work and just a lot more of that, to the point now I am currently writing my own RPG system that I've been spending a lot of time writing. So I am quite, yeah, I am definitely have done that. I have not had the opportunity to do more. Played Warcry once, but I would like to do that. I just haven't because of COVID, obviously, but that's one I would like to carry forward, actually. So hopefully in 2021, I talk about this with another Bitzer Anthony a lot. He's a big into and Clark, two Bitzers who are very big into Warhammer and have quite a bit of stuff, and like when this is over, we're definitely going to try and play it. So hopefully that happens in 2021, but I've always enjoyed myself when I've done it.
Cool. Yeah, and Anthony posted some photos today of the miniatures he's been painting, and they look good.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yep.
All right, I have a few more, but I'll go through them super fast. So I have a document I've created that has like a 0 and 1 and 2 playlist. So it's a way for me to keep track of the games that I haven't played as much, and when I get new games, they go on there. So I wanted to continue using it. I just find it's a good system for me to, make sure that I play my games. I mean, I still have a fairly large shelf of shame, mostly, multiplayer card games. But yeah, I continued using it, and I will continue using it because it's just a nice way for me to keep on top. The other thing is I wanted to continue my standard game night. I have a really good game group, and I was having a lot of fun with them. Obviously, that did not continue because of COVID. Yeah. But I do expect it will start up again post-COVID. Everyone is still gaming, and they haven't moved away, so I don't see why it wouldn't happen. And then my last one was creating more game aids for BGG. So I started creating game aids last year, and I've continued nice. To do that. Actually,
you make really good game aids. They're really impressive.
Oh, thanks. Really thanks. Good. I wish I could do more like graphic work, but I mean, that just adds so much time.
I'm sure.
But, you know, yeah, it's nice to just be able to go back to a game and not have to read the rule book again and get that high summary. So, so I have been doing that actually quite a bit.
Nice.
And I'm enjoying it. So there you go.
Cool.
All right, Sean. So what do you think about 2021?
Right.
What are some of your resolutions?
Okay. I have two main ones. It's so... Okay, I have three. But it's really hard to kind of... Sorry, that might have shaken things a lot. It's really hard. It was really hard for me to kind of come up with ones, more so because I don't know what things will be like, obviously.
Right.
One I definitely have, and I've already gone started on it, Actually, before the end of the year, but whatever. I'm a cheater. We know that. But I have what's called, and this is where the TWA comes up, where I wanted you to remind me. I have what I call, Michelle, my board game fail list. And to me, my board game fail list are games, evergreen and really popular games that I've never truly played. So I'm talking about like games like Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan and Alhambra. Those are like my three, were my three. Because I played like a half a game, pretty much. I've not played a full game of all three of those. And I played my first game of Carcassonne. And I actually really enjoyed myself on Board Game Arena before, in December, at the end of December. So I'm adding to this list and making this list of board games that I feel like I should have played. That I should play because they are so popular. And I think TWA should be on that because I think I would probably really enjoy it. And I want to make sure it's on that list. And I think Seasons is the other one that I would like to play again. I've played Seasons before, but I would actually like to play it now. And it's readily available on Board Game Arena, as well as I still have my copy. So I think it's something I can definitely play. So there's those five games. I'm pretty sure TWA is... I don't have it, but it's available on Yukata, I think. It's on one of those things I saw. So something maybe I could get to I could play. Alhambra is definitely somewhere I've seen, and Carcassonne, I'm going to leave that on there because I want to delve into the expansions, because I've heard that's where the game really shines, is that you get bored of the base game really fast, but there's tons of expansions that really do different things with it, and a lot of them seem to be on Board Game Arena. So kind of that's like now my list of five games, and I'll probably add to it, of just these kind of evergreen games that I have never played, but I feel like I should play. That's my first resolution.
Cool. Speaking of shoulds.
Yes.
My first resolution is to not worry so much about shoulds.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So my first resolution is to focus on enjoyment of the hobby. And I know that sounds a little bit common sense. And it's not that I haven't been enjoying the hobby. I've been enjoying it immensely. But sometimes I find myself in a little bit of that should space where it's like, oh, I should play this game, or I should do this, or I shouldn't, you know, have this many games, or I should have this game, or, you know, and not that that drives me per se, but just kind of just letting go of some of that and kind of just really doing what feels good. Because otherwise it can start to bog you down, or, you know, often at nights if I'm kind of thinking what I should do, it's like, oh, or what I want to do, it's like, oh, I really should play a game. And it's like, no, you know, play a game when you feel like playing a game. Play the games that you feel that you want to play, you know, like stuff like that. So whatever it looks like for me, just remember it's a hobby.
Just do it.
Have fun. Yep. Do what makes you happy, because that's why I play games.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's a good one.
You had mentioned I was supposed to remind you of something. I think it was Marvel Champions.
No, it was TWA. I literally just said, what? No, it was TWA before.
Oh, yeah, TWA.
I remember. Okay. Listen.
See, I told you I'd forget.
Well, at least I remembered. All right. My other resolution, and I don't know if this one, it's probably not going to happen, but if it does, my BG stats are going to look amazing at the end of the year. Especially if I actually do them. But I saw another, a speech language pathologist who I follow for materials and stuff, and I really love her work, posted this time-lapse video. You know how people like take pictures of stuff and then they like loop it all together to do a thing, of something she did with her daughter, who I think is like 6 years old, about every day reading a different book and playing a different game. Now, she's not like a game. I do know her. She's not like a gamer like us type thing. In fact,
okay.
But she's got like lots of like hobby games and Peaceable Kingdom and like those company games. But also, much like me, I'm looking at this closet here that probably has 100 different just like mass market games that I use for work and stuff that I think Nora's would probably be into now. But just... yeah, every day to try and do a different game in a different book with her, as just an experience. to just do an interaction, especially now looking at where we are, where she can't really go out and she can't really play with other kids and can't really do that interaction, to do something a little bit different with her to see. And that includes board games, and she's like loving role-playing games now. So doing board games and role-playing games and reading a book with her, kind of trying to do that. We'll see if how it goes at the end of the year, but I want to try a book and a game every day. Is kind of my
nice game.
We'll see. It's not going to happen because we're
That's
3 days in and we play a game one day, so it's fine. She's just too much into Lion Guard and nothing else right now, so we can't do anything if it's not related to Lion Guard. But we at some point we'll get back into it, but sure. That is my goal, to at least offer it to her.
And, gotcha, and nice. In terms of challenges for myself, I am doing Felduary.
Of course you are.
Of course. I do that every year. I think this year I might not be able to complete it because there are some games like, Notre Dame. I think I could play it too, but I usually save Notre Dame and Jorvik and Strasbourg for a couple friend of mine. And I go over there every Felduary and we have a Feld Night and I love it. But obviously that's not going to happen. I don't see it happening. So those games, there might be a few games that I just can't get to the table. Nope. But I'm still going to obviously do what I can. And then I think 2 years ago, you and I both tried a 10 by 10. And I really didn't like it. Just because it felt like 10 plays for 10 games. Yeah, it just felt like a lot of plays, and I didn't like feeling like that should thing with my other resolution. Mm-hmm. I didn't like having to feel like, oh, I should be playing this game because it's on my list. That being said, I do want to do a 10 by 5.
Okay.
So 10 games, 5 times. And I still haven't picked my full list. I kind of started working through it, but I kind of picked some of the games where, like Glenmore 2, I know is on there, where and Snowdonia Master set. Cause I know like both those games come with so much content. Yeah. And I am curious to delve into them. So this is just kind of like a little bit of a nudge and a little bit of a nudge to finally do that. So we'll see how it goes. If I decide that I'm just hating it and it's making me go against my other resolution, then I won't do it. But yeah, I thought, oh, this will be a good way for me even just to kind of capture some of those games that I just want to dig into more.
Cool.
So yeah.
Nice. My other resolution, or another resolution, is much like last year. Although we'll see, things are much different with the baby, so I don't even know if it's possible. Is to try and get Kathleen to play another Legacy game.
Ooh, look at you reaching high.
We're just gonna go for another one, and even you know we've been able to play since the baby came some games, as long as, well, pretty much any game either I play by myself or with Kathleen. It's got to be something that can just be set up and at a table and stay there potentially all day if need be to be able to take turns. And it's not something, you know, it's got to be very specific. And honestly, like when I made that goal last year, it was with the understanding that Kathleen probably would really like a Legacy game. But I had no idea that My City was coming, right? So this, if not for My City, there's absolutely no way we would have done that. I might have like maybe gone back to Charterstone to see if she'll like that, because she didn't play it. But so we'll kind of see. But I would like to at least try something. And actually,
do you have
I might
any ideas
honestly like
for
I,
what game it would be.
I might have mentioned this last year, and I feel like she'd probably enjoy Machikoro Legacy. Just because she has played Machikoro a couple times and liked them. She got annoyed with the like dice and stuff with it, which I understand. So we'll see. I mean, we'll kind of play it by ear. I don't expect anything in the next few months, just based on, you know, having a baby to look after. And it's got to be stuff that you could potentially play one-handed and leave out all day. So we'll see. But I'm putting that out there again.
Cool. Well, hopefully, I don't know of any light Legacy games that are coming out this year, but maybe in preparation for next episode, we'll come across a few hopefuls.
Yeah.
All right, my next one is to stop using a solo mode as justification to buy a game, because I actually rarely play them.
Yeah.
So often I've caught myself going, oh, well, it plays one, and then thinking that that is justification for purchasing a game. I do play solo a lot. Mm-hmm. I do not play the solo mode of games a lot. I find them slightly, actually, I find them usually very tedious. Mm-hmm. And kind of to what I said earlier about expansions, mm-hmm. I don't like when I pull a game out and it's like, there's almost a second rule book mm-hmm. for the solo mode and another setup and all this. And it's just like, nah, I'm not interested. I'd rather just play two-handed. So I actually play two-handed a lot.
Oh, okay.
There are games I play the solo mode with, like Underwater Cities, Praga Caput Regni, Newton. Those are all solo games that are literally, you just play the game as is, mm-hmm. pretty much. There's, you don't really, you know, you don't have an automa, for example. So, So just, again, just being aware of that tendency.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll stop me from buying that many games, but I've heard the voice in my head say, yeah. Oh, this is solo mode. Mm-hmm. And so I just need to remember that I don't actually really care for those usually. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. There yeah. You do you have any more? Cause I'm done.
No, yes.
Only
yes,
so much.
Just small ones. I mean, yeah, I want to be more consistent with the show, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully. And the other thing is I really hope that in 2020 we can have a big board game day weekend bash.
I know.
When we can, like, when that's possible, I'd like to put something together and just really celebrate gaming together again.
All the bits con.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be a great way to kick. We all have our shots. We're all, like, not scared to be around other people. It'd be a great way to kick things off.
I don't know if it'll happen this year, but I'm going to hope.
Whenever we can, we'll do it.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's jump into some 2020 games and stats. That took a while. All right, so let's start with the math, if you will.
Okay.
So how did you do? Okay, first question. Because this is always like, I feel like a bit of roulette with me when I put this stuff up, because I don't know how well you recorded your plays this year. You said you were doing okay.
I was doing okay until, I'll tell you exactly what my, I think, let's see, I was okay in May. July, it was okay. August, I basically stopped in August. Yeah, it was just, it was at some point, I was still playing online. I was still playing, I was playing with my wife and was playing, starting to play more, a little bit more solo. But I was just, it was just too depressing. I could do it. I was just, and then I was like, I'm just not going to worry about doing it online. So yeah, I kind of stopped in August. And I also didn't do a great job of recording plays with my daughter, which I said I would do, which would bump up my numbers a lot. We did play a lot, especially in the fall. So I didn't do that either. But up until August, I had 206 plays.
Okay, and did you record all your online plays too?
I did, yeah. I didn't play that I played very little before kind of February, but once it became a thing that it was the main way I was playing, then I figured why wouldn't I should play. I didn't count like app, you know, if I would play like Takedo on the app or like Splendor. I still play Splendor on my phone all the time. I love the missions, the things in it. So, like, you know, I don't count that. But if I was playing an actual sit-down game, and when I played, I hate playing turn-based games where you take a turn and you wait for someone else to take a turn and you go back. I don't really do that, but I did that a few times. I didn't count that either. But any kind of sit-down game that I played at the computer that was a board game, either over Zoom or an implementation on, like, BGA or Simulator or something, or Tabletopia, then I would put it on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you think, like, so your stats up until August, like the numbers, the average would stay fairly consistent, or did you play way more in the fall?
In
the latter half of the year?
No, I think, yeah, I think it probably would have played less because I didn't really, in October, especially mid to late October and early November, I definitely didn't play very at all. And then kind of November-ish, I was playing a lot with my daughter. She was playing a lot with me. But yeah, and then baby came and then didn't play very much again. So there's about 2 or 3 weeks there in November. Kind of like before the end of October, that there was a lot that I played. But then, yeah. There wasn't a ton. So I would probably be around 300, maybe 325, okay. Not counting all the ones I played with my daughter. Cause if I would count that, like, then I think it would be a lot more. Cause there were times we played like Color It for like an hour straight and went through like a deck of papers. And there were times we played, she likes playing like Llama or like a modified version of Llama. Like we play that for like an hour and just, yeah. So, kind of like I didn't count that stuff, which I'm going to count this year.
So around 300.
I would say probably be around 300. Yeah.
And do you have any guesses on your play count for 2019?
Well, I could probably look that up.
No, I have it.
Oh, you have it. I have 400, 375, 350.
414.
How much?
Yep. 414.
Yeah, that's about kind of it. It's very kind of like, well, I know we're going to talk about it, but like, you know, I'll have June, you know, the lowest played will almost always be June for me because that's the end of the school year where I'm just like working the whole month of June nonstop, and then like kind of like December as I'm getting ready. So like you can kind of my for the most part my play schedules are can be very January will always be the most played. Well, before this year because we would have Nirvana, and then you know,
yeah.
Gen Con-y time. So if I would go to Gen Con or go to a convention, that month would always be the most. It's always very predictable. And Fall Con, so it's like September-ish, would always be huge for me because I would get a ton of gaming done. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking at my play counts are, I just go through phases. I go through phases where all I want to do is game, and then I go through phases where I don't really want to. That being said, I don't really want to means I'm still playing at least a few times a week. It's just I'm not like, you're crazy about it. So, all right. So my total plays for this year was 674. And last year I had 716.
Oh, you fallen, man.
A slight drop.
You
I know.
Dropping,
I'm failing
man.
At life. And if I look at my months, my highest month was September and July. And I have no idea why.
Because you're trying to avoid the beautiful weather. Stay
inside. Maybe. There you go. And my lowest was May.
Okay.
This beginning of spring. That's when I was out enjoying the weather. Mm. And then I got sick of it in the summer in July. I was like, okay, this is enough is enough. Yeah. All right. So out of your out of the recorded plays, how many games total did you have?
Okay. I
have this should open. Say on BGG
it,
stats.
I have it open. You can go first if you want. Well, make sure I find it.
So my total games, that means in with my 674 plays, I played 330 games. Mm-hmm. So and last year it was 340.
Okay. I played 90 different games, at least according to this. So that'd probably be about 105 or something around there would be the true thing for this would be.
Mm-hmm.
About 105.
And last year you had 211.
Yeah.
Now, breaking that down even further, mm-hmm. So out of those 330 games I played this year, 164 of them were new to me. Last year I had 191 new to me games. So same-ish.
57 were new to me this year. Yeah. Not a ton. So probably about 75. I would say that would probably be actually quite a bit higher because I have played a lot of like new games on Board Game Arena that I just wasn't familiar with. I hadn't played before. So I'd say that'd probably be more like 75.
Yeah. So. Do you guesses on last year? How many new games you played?
125.
170.
Ooh.
That's where I went, ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's like a third. Yeah. So last year you played way more new games, which I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Apparently my H index has dropped. Oh. Which I don't understand. But I went from a 10 to a 9. So an H index, for those who don't know, mm-hmm. is how many games you've played at least that many times. So, for example, an H index of 9, which I currently have, means out of my collection, I've played, or out of all my the games I've played 9 games at least 9 times. So if I want my H index to be 10, I need to play 10 games at least 10 times.
Mine, according to this, was 5, which is probably about right. Who knows?
And last year, yours was 8.
Yeah.
What? What's happening? That doesn't make sense.
Well, no, because I would have I played a lot less games this year, I guess.
Well, this is for the H index for the year.
For 2020.
Okay. I was thinking was for 5. Some reason it was of all time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, my all-time, my H index is 18. What?
I don't know how you... Can you do that? Oh, all. Mine is 11.
Pretty good.
Okay,
not bad.
Yeah, all right. Great.
Okay, so we're going to get into some specific games here.
All right. Oh, I made a list of this over here. Okay.
All right. So, Sean, what was your first game that you played in 2020?
It was Point Salad.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Game you love.
Yeah, no.
What was yours?
Have you played Truffle Shuffle, by the way? That's
I have not.
Follow-up?
No.
I think you probably should.
Probably. I know. Again, but yeah. I'll get it at some point, I'm sure. It's on my list.
My first played game of 2020 started off very well with Clank Legacy.
Ooh.
Yeah. What was the last game you played this year in 2020?
Carcassonne.
Mine was Yahtzee.
Nice.
I have not played Yahtzee in years. Nice. But my mom and I had a summer where we played Yahtzee like all night, every night.
Nice.
In a summer. It was, and it's like something epic that we remember.
Yeah.
And my mom lives alone, so she came over for New Year's Eve and we played Yahtzee.
Nice.
So that was kind of cool.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
All right. First played game of 2021.
So can I tell you a funny-ish story first?
Of course.
So, you know, Nora, so my birthday, for those of you who don't, bitsers at home who don't know, my birthday is actually January 1st, so 2021. And, you know, my wife and daughter asked, like, what do you want to do today? Like, totally understanding the situation that we have a newborn and a four-year-old, so this wasn't going to happen. But I was like, oh, I just want to play games all day. Can we just have some games out? And, you know, even if we play them one-handed, and we could play, like, you know, Nora's favorite game. Well, Nora's two favorite games are Color It and Monza. I was like, we could just play Monza and Color It all day. I'd be totally happy with that. But, of course, Nora wouldn't play anything all day. And the baby wasn't too bad. But it was really hard. So we landed up getting one game in, and that was Fiverr Finding. That Haba polyomino game that my wife quite enjoys, and the nice thing about that is you're able to play it one-handed and you can just lay the tiles out on the couch, so that worked nicely. So we got one game in. We had a whole pile of other games that I was hoping to play, but we played that one game, so that was my
one such
game.
A story of a game boarder, like, yeah. Or game boarder, board gamer.
Yeah,
you know, it's like someone invites you over,
yeah,
and they're like, yeah, we'll play a game, and you like pack a massive bag full of shit,
all this stuff. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened, actually, because I brought up all the
like one
because and it's funny because I knew we were doing the podcast, and I was like, okay, I really want to play Pan Am, like, I really want to get Pan Am played, and there was something else, there was another game that has been on a bunch of other lists, I can't remember, I'll have it after. I like brought this up, I was like, neither of these are really complicated, you know, I'm sure we can get them played, it'll be super easy, you won't have to think too much, so let's let, but no, didn't happen. So.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, on my husband's 40th, I got stuck in snow. He was at his buddy. He had the same wish you did.
Whoa.
But his was video games.
Whoa.
All day.
Whoa. Why
games.
Are you saying 40th? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry.
What's going on here? So
he went over to his buddies to play video games all day, and I got stuck in the snow, so he had to come rescue me. And then I fell down the stairs and gave my baby daughter a concussion. And we were in the hospital.
Oh,
so,
that.
Hey, you played a Haba game.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
That's fine. And an adult one. So, fine.
Yeah. Well, my first played game, the only one I've played, and it's kind of, I don't even know if I should count it, is On Your Birthday Call. We played just one.
Oh, that's right.
We did.
That's true. I didn't put that in the app, too. That's true.
So,
and you played it with
I'm
me.
I'm counting it.
Well, technically, it wasn't called just one. Technically, it's like one word game. But
oh, okay. Well, close enough. All right, so let's jump to our five most played games in 2020. I'll go first. Okay, so first off is My City with 24 plays. Uh-huh. Zombie Kids Evolution, which is a legacy game for kids, 20 plays. Uh-huh. Maracaibo, 12 plays. Uh-huh. Chronicles of Crime with 11 plays. And My First Castle Panic with 11 plays. If I take out the kids' games...
Yeah.
The next one is Expedition to Newdale with 10 plays. Nova Luna with 10 plays. And then Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion with 9.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Some overlap here. So my first game, my most played game this year was Dominion. With the Abscess 29, I would say that's probably more like 45. And with everything being so crazy this year, I find it hilarious that Dominion is my most played game. But
I think it's great.
Yes, it is. And you know what? I have just fallen in love with Dominion like all over again. The online and Dominion.games or whatever is so fantastic. And it makes all the, like, for, you know, everyone who's had problems with all the Dominion, a lot of the Dominion expansions that are too fiddly or have too many rules or whatever, you can actually see how good some of them are. With this, because it kind of takes care of all the fiddliness. You don't do the fiddliness, and it's just so smooth. It's been awesome. I've actually really enjoyed it.
Nice. That's great.
My second most played game, game is The Crew, which is probably around between 30, I would say between 35 and 40. My third most played is Marvel Champions, which is around 30. My City, which is at 22. We are still not quite there. Almost, though. And my second one, my fifth most played is Just One, which is probably around 20, would be my guess. And if I was counting, kids' games, I feel like Color It would probably be, if not first, pretty close to first or second, probably with about 30 or 40. And Monza would be, again, probably about like 30 plays. We have played that for hours on end.
Yeah, we play a lot of Monza too. That's such a great game.
I hate it.
I love it.
Are weighted and evil towards younger kids. It's awful. Brutal. So those.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ooh.
Next thing. So you said you did a lot of Kickstarter. You and Kickstarter were pretty tight this year. So what game did you back on Kickstarter this year that you're most looking forward to receiving next year?
Probably Endless Winter. Well, next year. Who knows what?
I regret not backing that.
Yeah, there was just so much. Well, A, like the designer I really enjoy is the same designer who did, not Pioneer Days, the follow-up to Pioneer Days and Lock Up, which I really enjoy. So he's done really good stuff, and he's on the roll. Stan something is his name. But there was so much extra content with Endless Winter, and I went back and forth and was like debating it, and then I was chatting with Jeremy Howard, friend of the show, and he was like, yes, you have to back this game, it's totally worth
it.
So I did that, and a close second is Creature Comforts from Tableboard or Kids Tableboard and Games, which not only seems, again, has like tons of extra stuff, looks really cute and gorgeous. It's also a local-ish designer, designers from Edmonton. So it's like, yeah, that's another one I'm really looking forward to. How about you?
Nice. Well, I hate to be super predictable, but
yeah, oh, really, I wonder.
I am most looking forward to the re-implementations of, I think it's Bruges and Macau, so Hamburg and Amsterdam. Mm. I did not back the super deluxe version because it was ridiculously expensive, and I wasn't super excited with the deluxe bits, so I didn't do that. But I did back just the retail version, hoping that I would get them before others. We'll see. That might end up being a regret, but I'm just really excited to see what what's done with them. I like Bruges, but I like Bruges less almost every time I play it, simply because it can be quite random, and I've heard a lot of that's been dealt with.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I don't back a lot of Kickstarters, so, yeah. But that was my pick.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be good. Mm-hmm. Should be good. And I'm getting my Merlin big box soon, too.
Ooh, so, nice. So big.
I'm so excited. It'll be so everything game trays, man. They're the best. They are. They're the best thing that's happened to this hobby, I swear. Everything's so organized. All right. What was your biggest surprise of 2020?
So, my biggest surprise was probably, and this, again, might just be a function of the types of games I was able to play this year, but was Hues and Cues, which we covered on the show, and which, I mean, I absolutely adore. And it was so neat that there's this game with just like a bunch of colors and that you're just kind of trying to direct people towards the color that you drew of like this array of 240 or whatever color, hundreds of different colors on there. And the game, which has been obviously really important that I can run on Zoom and works perfectly fine on Zoom. All I need to do is just place down the things, the pegs. But I've had so much fun with it and wasn't expecting it and had no idea that you can make a game out of that and that it works so splendidly as a party game. So
yeah, it's a really neat idea.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I definitely want to try it. I'm sure there's going to be something I think of later that would surpass this, but for me, one of my biggest surprises was actually Pan Am.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard much about it initially, and I bought it on a bit of a whim. And I just really like the game. Yeah. I think it's quite good. You know, for like that kind of gateway quicker style game. And I think the way Pan Am works in the game is just really cool. I just really like it. I was really surprised by it.
Yeah, I really wanted to play that before we did this. Before we did this episode, because I feel like that there's a good chance that would have been my biggest surprise and also been on my top five list for sure.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think you would like it. All right, what about disappointments?
Again, because I haven't played as much this year, I had trouble figuring out what my biggest disappointment is. But in the end, I wound up going with Welcome to New Las Vegas. I talk lots of smack on rolling rights and flipping rights, but I think based on where we are with gaming right now, those are some of the best games. You know, when I was playing a lot more online, like over Zoom in the summer and in the spring, and I'm hoping to get back to it now to playing some more over Zoom, but like games like rolling rights and flipping rights work extraordinarily well, like, you know, Cartographers and Welcome To and you know, pretty much any roll and write works terrific over Zoom, right? And I was looking forward to, I'm usually a sucker. I love Las Vegas. It's like one of my favorite places in the world, and I love the tackiness and everything about Las Vegas, and I love anything that evokes kind of, you know, 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s Las Vegas as well. Like, I just like that aesthetic. So I was really looking forward to it, but I feel like I played it once, and I was just like, no, it's just like adding all these things that you don't necessarily need to it. And it's like, I'm wondering if it's, I know it was recently released on Board Game Arena. I'm wondering if it's a little better on there, but I really did not enjoy it. And it seems to be the prevailing kind of sentiment is that, you just stick with regular Welcome To.
Yeah, I got rid of my copy. Yeah, I felt the same way. It was just too much. It was trying to be too much.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, mine, it is actually a 2019 release, but I did look at things based on when I got to play them, especially if they were later in the year, just because North America often gets the European releases later.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's Terramara. So this was,
I remember you playing this.
Yeah,
some music.
I actually like, okay, so I didn't hate the game, but the people I played with really didn't like it.
Her face was hilarious. Sorry. I still remember her face.
Yeah. I think there are some really cool ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, I really, really liked the idea in this game where you could see all the worker spots that were going to be available, and the worker spots were broken down into rows mm-hmm. by round. Mm-hmm. But you only got your workers back in the row of the current round. So, and of course the spots got better later in the game. So you could, like, in round one, you could go down and to the very bottom and choose a super powerful action.
Okay.
But you're not getting that worker back until, like, the end of the game. So some really cool ideas, but there was this military thing that I didn't like and ended up being quite take that. And also, I felt like it was meant to be a four-player game. It had kind of, like, just not great rules for two, not great rules for three. So, yeah, I ended up getting rid of it. And one of the reasons was one of my biggest disappointments is the design team is also, some of them are responsible for Coimbra, Gizia, Lorenzo il Magnifico, Grand Austria Hotel, which is my number one game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, this should have been a hit for me. So, very disappointing. But, you know, alas, there were many, many hundreds of other games.
Yeah.
All right, so this one, best production of 2020, what do you think?
So again, I'm going by games that I have interacted with, not based on what's out there, because I know for a fact there are a couple games that I'm 1,000,000% sure I would consider a better production, but based on kind of what I have had the opportunity to interact with, I think Tang Garden is my choice here. Mm. Just, again, based on the production and what it looks like, and then all the fancy, the overproducing of it, but it is it's a really awesome production. I do not have Dwellings of Everdale. I don't have Etherfields. I know those are two games that, in terms of production, are probably really, 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 really high on the list. I'm sure there are a bunch of other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head. Oh, I mean, I haven't opened it. Like, I feel like Tidal Blades could probably be this, and I do have it. I did kickstart it, but I have not opened the box yet. So I can't tell you, but I'm assuming Basis would probably be right up there too. But in terms of the games I've actually physically interacted with and not just the box, I'll go with Tang Garden.
Nice. My pick is kind of cheating on two levels. One, it's a Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I just feel and it came out in 2019, but I only played in 2020. It was another one of those, but it's in the Hall of the Mountain King.
Oh, yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me was the game trays.
Yeah.
They did such a good job with the game trays. Everything fits so, so very nicely. They even have slots to put tiles up, standing upwards vertically for display. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have little podiums and little dudes sit in the podiums. Everything's just really well produced. There's metal coins. There's shaped bits.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just overall really well done. It was in a normal size box, which is always appreciated. And I was kind of blown away by this game a little bit, just because I had heard so very little about it. And then maybe that should have been my surprise. And the other one I considered was Rococo.
Yeah, the new Kickstarter one.
Yeah, beautiful production. Mm-hmm. The art's phenomenal. It feels very deluxe. But that insert, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, but it's not good. And it really annoys me when publishers take the time to make an insert. And then, I don't know, 70% of the way through, they're just like, nah, make a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's just, Anyway.
Yep.
So that's why Rococo didn't get it. So neener, neener. All right. I added one just quickly because I was like, we're all the bits. Yep. We should have a best bit. So did you pick one?
Yeah, I'm going to go for this one. I thought about Tang Garden.
Okay.
But for best bits, I'm going to go with Chai. Again, kind of similar to you cheating the deluxe, whatever, premium Kickstarter of Chai, because I adore the art in it. I love the art, and I'm considering art bits. I love the tiles in it. I love the teacups are really cool. So in terms of bits, like I love, that's like my favorite bit probably from a board game this year is those clay teacups in it, which my daughter at least gets to play with and do her tea parties and stuff with. But yeah, I, as a game, I'm going to go with Chai, but specifically the bits, those teacups from Chai.
Nice. Man, board games are so great as kids' toys.
Oh, yeah.
As long as your kid doesn't stuff
them in their mouth.
Yeah, they're great. Like, I've gotten a lot of, Chloe's gotten a lot of play out of my collection.
Yep.
Because of stuff like that. Cool. My best bit of 2020 was easy. It was the books in Alma Mater.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. They're so good. Yeah. They're so, they feel good. They look good. They're fun to stack and play with. And
yep.
I wish the game was a bit better. I like the game, but not enough. Or not as much as I was hoping anyways. Mm-hmm. But those books. Whew, I like those books.
They do look really cool.
They're great. Yeah. They did a really good job. Yeah. They're very nice.
Cool.
Very nice. All right. Okay. The final.
We're there.
Top 10.
Just top 10. And this will be
10.
The top 5 new to us games that distracted us from the reality of 2020 in 2020, aka the top 5 for each of us of 2020.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. This was hard.
This was hard this year. This was really hard. I had a hard time. I feel like your hard time was very different than my hard time.
I have about 15 honorable mentions.
God, I have one honorable mention. Maybe two, actually, now that you reminded me of one. And
I actually ended up doing a top 10, and I forgot to change the podcast notes.
Well, your top 5 can be your honorable mentions. Or you can motor through your 10 to 6 if you want, and then we'll do a top 5.
Yeah, okay.
Do your 10 to your 10 to 6.
10 to 6, okay. 10, Nova Luna.
Yeah.
9, In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Mm-hmm.
8, Takenu, Obelisk of the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
7... Wait, am I 10, 9, 8, 7, Viscounts of the West Kingdom.
Yeah.
And 5, Bonfire by Feld.
That's 6 or 5? Fire,
but I've only played it digitally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just based on, for stuff that came out in 2020, it was hard. It was hard for me. I have my quote-unquote honorable mention list here, Michelle, is basically what's on my shelf / Kallax of Shame. Currently.
Okay.
Which is basically I made a list of like all the games that like I've seen on other people's best games of the year that I have not gotten a chance to play because of
I made that list as well, Sean. I did. I thought some because there's some games that I haven't played yet that I think might make it.
Okay. Well, I had basically my only honorable mentions here are Hall of the Mountain King, which I totally forgot about until you mentioned it, but I like played that game twice and loved it. And I cannot bring myself, like I see the game and I'm like, okay, I'll buy it, but I cannot bring myself to not get the Kickstarter version of it.
That's fair.
So I'm like waiting at some point, hopefully it will pop up on our marketplace and 10 other people won't see it before me, which is usually what happens, and I'll be able to get it. And then the other one is Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion, which I played one time, which is why I just don't have it higher on here. So, but I think
the ones that I thought might make it once I play them are Runes of Arnak.
Yes.
I haven't played that yet, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Merv by Fabiano Lupiano, or however you say his name, who did Kalimala.
Mm-hmm.
And Ragusa, I love his games, I really do. Anno 1800, Martin Wallace, mm-hmm. I imagine I will like that one. Honeybuzz seems like maybe I might like that one. And Hallertau, which is the new Uwe. So I imagine once I play those, they might make the top 10 list, not my top 5, though.
So
maybe Merv and Runes of Arnak.
My list.
And Hallertau.
Oh, just all of them. I have Runes of Arnak on my, like, yeah, Kallax of Shame that I think would make the list. Forgotten Waters, which I think I would absolutely love when I get to play it. Pan Am, Fort, which I've kind of like, the more I think it's being played, I'm hearing more kind of hit or miss things. But Undaunted North Africa, Tidal Blades, again, hearing mixed things, but knowing the type of games that I like, I think that would be really high on my list.
I think so.
Under Fallen Skies, Endangered, which I still haven't gotten to play, Marvel Villainous, and Honey Bus. So, like, these are just, like, games that I see pop up on different lists or that I think I would really, really like that come out this year, but I have not gotten a chance to play them.
Oh,
and
that's a good list, though.
So I am really looking forward to playing Lost Ruins of Arnak. I think that's going to be a biggie. And Under Fallen Skies, they're both from Czech Games, Under Fallen Skies, which I've heard really awesome things about.
I have that coming next week. I don't know if I have a feeling I might not like it because it might just feel like a tower defense game where you're just trying to fight off the inevitable. Yep. But because it so many people raved about it, I thought, okay, well, let's see.
Yep.
I might like it solo, right? So therefore,
strictly solo.
It's justifiable.
It's just solo,
so
it was made solo. Yeah, that and like the other, which I haven't been able to get yet. Because I haven't seen it in stock anywhere, because it always seems to be out of stock, is Warp's Edge, which is another one that people seem to be raving about in terms of, like, just solo games.
The other game I want to, I don't think is my type of game, but I've heard so many good things about it that I want to do some more digging, is Dune Imperium.
Yeah. Yes, me too. I really want to play it.
I'm hearing really good things.
Yes, I really, really, I think I would really like that. Again, I don't know if it plays solo or what it plays like solo, but I think I would love,
I don't think it plays solo. I was just talking about other games.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and get it played online at some point if it's available.
Cool. All right, now to games we've actually
now played. Our actual top five, even though Michelle did a top 10 and didn't tell me, whatever. Okay.
Well, I meant to. I just,
All right. Shall I go first with my top five? With my five?
Sure.
My number five. And I have a feeling this game is just, well, no, I really did enjoy it. And I was so excited to play this game. This was my most anticipated game from last year. If you remember, and that is The Deadlies. I was so looking forward to this game, and I just, because of the pandemic, I didn't get a chance to play it until the summer when we went to visit my brother-in-law and and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and we played a bunch of games with them, and we played this game a ton there, and I was so excited, and we had a blast, and they loved it, which made me love it, because I've played this game so many times in various iterations. The designers we mentioned, Paul, is local to Calgary, so I've had the opportunity to play this game on countless occasions, and I had so much fun with it, and I have not played it since, because obviously, for obvious reasons, but I just absolutely adored it and love it, and I'm looking forward to any time I get, when we are allowed to have multiple people again, that I can play this, because it's such a great, just chill party game to just have lots of laughs.
Yeah, I purchased this right before COVID hit, so it's on my shelf of shame.
Yep.
Although I played the prototype and I enjoyed it. Like, it's kind of reminds me of Llama. Like, it's just easy and fun.
Yep.
Have a laugh.
Totally. Yeah.
All right, my number five is, again, a game. It did come out in 2019 late, I know, but it's Barrage.
Okay.
I haven't talked about this on the podcast, which is another reason why I thought it was okay that I put it here.
Sure, I'll allow it.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I was so worried. Yeah. Like, oh, you have no idea.
I know.
Yeah. This is just a really solid game. I know it can be super mean, and maybe I'll have enough experiences with it that like deflate me that it might fall off of my list, but I just, you know, it's just a really solid game when I'm playing it. You know, I often kind of have a moment where I sit back and like, yeah, this is just, it's just really, really good. And you know, it's a big box and there's a lot to it, but the game itself is fairly straightforward. Like, it's, I feel like it's a game that you can pick up relatively easily. It has a lot of like common tropes, you know, that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
It's a really, really solid game. And the expansion, if you've played the base game and you haven't played the expansion, 100%, as someone who doesn't buy all the expansions, 100% get this expansion. Cool. It makes the game so much better. Yeah, I really, really enjoy this game, and that's Barrage, even though I find it kind of ugly.
Yeah, the color scheme is definitely not, it's very authoritarian or like communist.
Yeah.
Communist is very olive-y and green, like dark greenish, right?
Yeah, it's like a lot of black and but great game. Very, very solid game.
My number four is a game we talked about earlier, which has been was a pretty big surprise and one of the reasons that I was able to meet one of my resolutions, and that's My City, which I feel like Michelle will probably talk about higher on her list or after, maybe. I absolutely adore this game. I did not get a chance to play it, Michelle, until after we covered it on the show, but it was just... Yeah, I've been so excited that my wife has totally been into it, and I've enjoyed it. And, you know, the great thing is, again, about this game, because it's for the most part, you're just, flipping the cards over having the tiles in front of you. So we were able to play this, honestly, like almost all of our plays were played before the baby came. So, you know, when you're 9 months pregnant and 8.5 months pregnant, you can just kind of sit there and just chill on the bed. And that's where we play pretty much all of our plays of this, except for a couple. We're just on the bed, and it worked really nicely. And I do enjoy it because I'm like totally, because I think one of the reasons my wife is so into polyomino games now and really likes them, and then I'm so into them. So everything about this game kind of just makes me happy. And I'm so glad we got introduced to it and got a chance to play it. It's My City, my number four.
My number four is also My City.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Such a great game. Yeah. You know, it didn't, like, 24 plays of it, and I didn't really get that old. I thought the legacy elements of it were so good. Like, the game really does change quite a bit in terms of how you approach things and how you might want to play the game out. It's so easy. Like, it's 20 minutes usually, 20 to 30 minutes. So it's easy to get out a game.
Oh yeah, that's
I really enjoyed it. I haven't gone back to it, which I thought I might. Like, after I finished the campaign, I was like, oh, I like this game enough that I might go back to it, but I haven't. So I'm curious to see if I do. But yeah, it was just really good.
Yeah,
fun and easy.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot about the time on it too, which was also, she was a big fan of the time. I was too. Yeah. I was too, because I feel like if this game was like, if you would double how long it was, I don't know if it would overstay its welcome or just not kind of quite have that same. But I like the fact that it was so quick and you could play, you know, 2-3 sessions and just kind of get through them and that's it.
Like, I would pop out a game before dinner quickly. Yep. You know what I mean? And you still get to experience the fun and the surprises of a solid legacy experience without a huge investment of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. My number three is another polyomino game, and that's one we talked about on the last episode, and that is Kingdom Rush. This has been kind of another game I've been really into. It's as we mentioned, it's a tower defense polyomino combat game, which is really weird to say, but it somehow works. It is, you know, we talked about kind of there being a solo mode in the game, and it's hard to imagine this game not just playing solo, because I feel like if you were to play it with other people, I think between kind of like the potential for AP, and I feel like there's tons of potential for AP in this game. I feel like if I would have started playing this game at four, like I typically do with games 3 or 4, I don't know if it would be as high as it is for me, but I think because of how cool it is, how good it is to play solo, and you kind of play a couple characters, and you don't have to wait on someone else. You don't have to deal with that AP, and it wouldn't be, you know, and it is a bit fiddly, the game. There's a lot of kind of little things. There's lots of bits and stuff. So that's the other thing. If you had a lot of people, I can imagine it being a little bit more of a challenge, timing wise, but just as a solo game, I'm in love with it. I adore it.
Cool.
Yeah.
A friend of mine messaged me the other day and kind of basically recommended it to me and told me why, and I'm like, maybe I should look at this one a bit more.
It's a gooder. It's very, yeah. It's, but again, borderline. My main issue with that game is still that it's like borderline to just being too hard. Like,
yeah.
Like, I wonder, like, yeah. But still good. It's a good game. It's super unique, which is what I adore about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds it, anyway.
Yep.
My number three is not super unique. It's Marco Polo 2. So, again, I think this probably came out in 2019, very, very late, but I didn't play it until, I think my first play of it was in January, and then it was many months again before I got to play it. This is one of those mid-weight Euro games with lots of combos and dice placement, which I just like. I do like heavier Euros, but, you know, I think 2019 was like a year of a lot of heavy Euros. And so this year I feel like I was a little bit more tired in a sense. And so I was welcoming a lot more like, yeah, mid to low weight Euros and just kind of, yeah, the quicker, easier gameplay. So anyway, Marco Polo 2, it's just right in my wheelhouse. It's exactly... Yes, it's exactly my favorite type of game. Just perfectly mid-weight, dice placement, manipulation of things, some combo-y turns. I wasn't a huge fan of Marco Polo 1 while I liked it. So to me, this was just like, yes, this is what I wanted the game to be. I remember getting really excited about it. And yeah, I just think it's a stellar game. So
cool.
Yeah, Marco Polo 2.
All right, we're into the nitty-gritty here. My number two, the game I mentioned, which is my biggest surprise of this year, which is Hues and Cues. Yeah, look. And I think part of the reason, the main reason this is on here is that it came at just the right time. You know, there is like certain times, like, especially this year of all years, you know, I needed a game that would give me lots of laughs and that would give me lots of enjoyment. And I was able kind of to put this game on Zoom and play it with coworkers and play it with some game nights that I was hosting, and it worked really well. And then I mentioned this one of the games I took when I went to visit my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and they wanted to play it constantly. They loved it. They had so much fun with it. And it just came at the right time where if you're thinking about in terms of actual enjoyment, you know, I can make the case that this should be my number one game because based on just kind of the feeling it gave me and everything it kind of did for me, the laughs and the engagement and the interaction with other people, which is what I really needed when this came, which is why it's on this list. And could easily, you can make the case that it could be number one, but at least I could. But that's my number two is Hues and Cues.
I'm surprised. I didn't realize you liked it this much.
I do.
Cool. Well, then I definitely have to give it a play.
You do, definitely.
Yeah. I find party games I really like for about 10 minutes, and then I get bored of the repetition. But I still want to try it.
Yeah. There's a lot of cards in the deck, though, so there's lots of different stuff. And I mean, there's nothing... Basically, what you're doing in the game is, right, you're choosing a card. You're choosing a card, and it gives you... coordinate, and you kind of then have to give hints so that people could try and get points based on your hint of the colors that you're giving. But there's no reason you can't just make up your own stuff, right? Like you could totally do this, much like I've seen code names with board games and stuff like that. You could totally do it with this game. It'd probably be a very unique challenge, but you could do it. So
yeah, it kind of reminds me a little, like, I don't know, all party, like Wavelength, Just One, like all those, I'm like, I have a lot of fun, and then the 10, 15 minutes, and I'm just good.
Yep.
But, yeah, it still sounds really cool. I love, like, graphic design and colors, which sounds kind of silly, but, I am drawn to it for that as well. All right, my number two was actually a bit of a surprise for me this year. I'd heard good things, and it hasn't been in North America. I feel like it's taken forever, and I don't even know that it is in North America yet, but of course, Board Game Bliss being amazing, they imported it, and I got my hands on a copy of The Magnificent, which is my number two, and similar to Marco Polo 2, this game is just boom, right where I like games to be. I was just It had the spark. Mm-hmm. It just had the spark. I was playing halfway through it. I was just like, yes. Like, I've been playing so many new games, and I've been liking so many of them. But, you know, it's always exciting when you get that little spark. Mm-hmm. And I really got that with this game. I think it's just really fun. It's good. I don't know that it really brings anything new to the table, but I really had a blast with it. And like I said, it's just perfectly right in that weight and length and type of gameplay that is just very me, same as Marco Polo too. So yeah, I was really taken aback with this one, and I had no, like, I'd heard of good things, mm-hmm. but I had no idea it was going to be this good. So
cool.
Great game.
Also on my list of games to play. I don't own it, but I would like to play it at some point. Definitely.
Highly recommend. Yeah. Great game.
All right. The big one.
Number one.
Mine is...
Oh, I was trying to guess.
What, really? Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah. I don't know. Is there a Marvel game that came out this year?
Well, there were. You know, I debated, because I just say Marvel Champions again, because there were a bunch of really good expansions that came out.
I wouldn't know any better. Yeah, I was trying to think. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's so many games that come out in a year. It's so hard for me.
Okay, well, so this game came out in Europe last year, and I had played it many times before, but I did not put it on last year's list because it was not officially out in North America yet. And it was...
That does not help me.
One of my most played games this year. And I...
Is your most played?
Yes. Well, no, one of my most played.
No, you already did City.
Yeah, no, one of my most played games.
What else did you say?
It's...
Oh, man, I can't remember. Okay,
it's The Crew.
Oh, right.
The Crew. Yeah, it's still... Even though... It's funny, when we did this list last year, I was like, I can't imagine anything this knocking anything out of this not being my number one play next year, and I just didn't put it because not everyone, the only people who had it were either people who made their own out of a deck of cards, which is totally possible, or people who imported it, because it was not out from Cosmos in the US, so I didn't put it on the list last year, but yeah, I have played it, and since it's on Board Game Arena, I have played it a bunch on there as well, so I've been able to continue playing it, and it's just as fantastic as it was the first time I play it, and love it, whether it's online or I just adore it. Yeah, I love it. The Crew, my number one.
Yeah, this is a game I wish I played more.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm hoping once COVID is gone, man, there's gonna be like a lot of. Heavy expectations post COVID. It's gonna be like, oh, now I don't have an excuse. But yeah, I do hope to play this more. I really like it too.
Yeah,
it's great. Cool. Right. Well, my number one. Any guesses on mine?
Praga something or other.
Yeah. Praga Cup.
There you
Capu
go.
Regni. Yeah. Probably the top three. I feel like could probably be shifted around depending on what I've played last. But yeah, this is, again, same reasons for my two and three, just that really great, perfect weight for me. Again, there's nothing really innovative going on, but it hits a sweet spot, and I think it's a really, really smart design. There's some simplicity to it in terms of the rule set. Like, I feel like it's a game I can easily go back to. I just have a blast playing it. It's fun. It's good. Mm-hmm. And I love the art too, actually. Mm-hmm.
The dudes in hats.
Yeah, there is a lot of beige. It's very yellowy, but if you look at the art, it's not the dudes in hats, no. Yeah. But the actual art on the boards and stuff I really like. Yeah, I really, really am enjoying this game. And I was actually pretty surprised. I have been watching a lot of top 10 lists, and it hasn't shown up on as many lists as I thought.
I wonder if that's because it's not out yet, right? It's like Rio Grande is putting it out, right? I think they're putting it out in the US. I wonder if that's the reason.
It could be, but I know, I guess I'm just pulling on one experience, but I know Man versus Meeple and Jeremy Howard have both played it, and it was not in their top lists. So, yeah, we'll see. Once it hits more of the mainstream, maybe it'll be more popular. Yeah. But, yeah, I just, It's good. If you're into midweight Euros,
so badly want to play it.
I would definitely recommend my top three as strong additions to any collection.
Cool.
Yeah. But definitely, like, midweight Euro and dice seems to be... Although Praga doesn't have dice.
No,
it has a wheel, an action wheel, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
There,
that was our... Good Riddance 2020 and our look back. Before we close out the show, of course, we want to say thanks again to all of you, our amazing listeners, and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.